Several times in Paul's letters, Paul stops his train of thought to counter accusations and prevent further arguments. He is at pains to keep his readers from reaching the wrong conclusion. There are conflicts between Paul, the Corinthian church, and new preachers in town who are stirring up the church. But these provide us valuable theological foundations. One such foundation is the source of Paul's call as a minister. His was not a minister born of effort, ambition, or any other human motives. Instead, he consistently tells them that his authority springs only from God's call. The gospel Paul preaches is not of his own creation, but a gift from God. Paul preaches Jesus Christ, not Paul. While new preachers in town stated Paul's weaknesses, discount his message, Paul states the opposite. Paul states that his weaknesses prove God's power. Paul's value and identity is in Christ as he serves the one who saves. He does not believe what they say about him, because they say some pretty horrible things. He doesn't sink into despair or slink away never to return. Paul seeks to correct and point to Christ. Paul answers the charge that his gospel is veiled, difficult to comprehend. They point to his insufficiencies as a person to prove that his gospel is veiled. They get quite personal. In stirring up discontent with Paul's message, it appears these preachers saw opportunity to disenfranchise Paul of his authority within the Corinthian church. They made comparisons by drawing attention to themselves and their attractive leadership style. It's very easy to get caught up in image, perception, expertise, even giftedness. These new preachers to town, they even looked nicer than Paul. Last weekend, was it only last weekend, when Dr. Jeff Arney was here? He said that it has been recorded that Paul was small, bald, and ugly. That's not all I learned from his weekend's workshop. So Paul doesn't measure up. He doesn't measure up to the worldly reality of what victorious leadership looks like. They also spoke more eloquently than he did. They appeared more successful. They were received well and did not appear to be in trouble with the authorities or get locked up like Paul often seemed to. Paul proclaims Christ's death and resurrection as victory won by suffering and sacrifice. And Paul seeks to imitate Christ. The new preachers profess a more palatable gospel. They professed a prosperity gospel, inward-looking and self-gratifying. They promoted good religious feelings about themselves and the community, without seeing the needs of the world around them. Preachers who tell us what we want to hear are hard to compete with. And the fact is, we're not meant to be competing, are we? Paul labels his accusers and their followers as unbelievers. He states that they do not believe because the God of this world has veiled their minds to the gospel of Christ. these unbelievers are both outside and within the church. Paul proclaimed Christ's gospel truthfully. A gospel, the gospel, that calls for followers of Christ to be discontent with the world's brokenness. Christ's gospel seeks to increase community, wholeness, justice, peace, and life. It's a gospel of action in the world, not of relaxing comfort awaiting the next life. The gospel is a public matter available to all. God works not in secret, but in public, in clarity, not obscurity, in light, not darkness. Why then have some still not heard? In our Western culture, we do value appearances, money, career, and social standing. The culture in Corinth had similar values. The world around us influences how we live out our faith, how we live out our faith in our context. Paul draws a sharp contrast between the God of this world, who trades in the spreading of darkness, and the God, the true God, who calls light into existence at the dawn of time. The God of this world has sought to keep the lost in a maze of lies. In contrast, our God created the universe and is at work today in our hearts, transforming our lives. Paul does not identify and deride the failures of those outside the church in order to inflate a sense of accomplishment as the truly righteous, but reminds Christians of their former lives and warns against returning to this previous state of veiled darkness. Yet many of us still find the gospel difficult to comprehend and explain. Not because of unbelief, but because of the world we live in. Darkness of hurt by experiences of child abuse, even committed by church leaders or others. Such darkness that has veiled God's love. Corruption, abuse of power, materialism, and the church's disunity cloud our hearts from receiving God's love. All of us interpret what we hear through the experiences we have lived. But the preached word is not intended to be veiled. And we pray for the Holy Spirit's illumination of God's goodness in our hearts. Paul's gospel of Jesus Christ seeks transformation of this world. The gospel is light shining in the darkness. The gospel truth is that those who lead the charge for change may endure suffering, just as Christ did. As the principalities and powers, landlords and powerful CEOs, even comfortable Christians, resist new patterns of justice, equality, and abundance for all, there will be retaliation. I remember hearing the now retired minister, John Bretnell, talking about a preparedness to be arrested for campaigning against mining in the Breeza Plains area. And I remember thinking, am I prepared to be arrested for a cause Christ calls me to? The basis of union, the Uniting Church, basis of union, states, and I'll just read one little section, Christ, who is present when he is preached among people, is the word of God who acquits the guilty who gives life to the dead and who brings into being what otherwise could not exist. Through human witness in word and action and in the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ reaches out to command people's attention and awaken faith. He calls people into the fellowship of his sufferings to be the disciples of a crucified Lord. In his own strange way, Christ constitutes, rules, and renews them as his church. Many respond to love demonstrated through acts of service and sacrifice. They are then more prepared to listen. The world sees service and sacrifice as weakness, and yet service and sacrifice is how Christ removes the veil of arrogant blindness. Humble acts of service and sacrifice transcend worldly reason. Now, even Paul described his witness to the Corinthians as weak, done with fear and trembling. Have you had that experience? Despite this, Christ's glory shines through as the gift of grace is shared. So be encouraged to share with those who desperately need to know the love of God. Amen. We're now going to have a time to talk about this with the person around you, because I'd like to pose a couple of questions. What prevents you from seeing and sharing the glory of God's salvation? Is it coming? The next slide. There should be a slide that's headed up MGEM. And also, the next question, I'll ask the first one again. What perception of Southside would you like revealed to the community? Because in the newsletter, I was starting to feel, not guilty, but I was starting to feel a bit confused. So, it must be confession time. I value good communication and first impressions, or second impressions and third impressions. Not necessarily of individuals, but definitely with regard to church groups and social gatherings. Are they, church groups and social gatherings, welcoming and accepting of newcomers? And what is required to fit in? So reflecting on what I've said today, we are called to be different from the culture we live in as far as expectations and values. So now I'm wondering if it's appropriate that I've asked for some nice furniture. And I'm saying that I confess that I would like the church to look nice, to look professional and up to date, attractive to a seeker. Or am I relying on first impressions too much and not enough on God's glory, God's mercy in Christ? That might stir your thoughts a bit more. So turn to a couple of people around you, and the questions again were, maybe I better limit the questions. What prevents you from sharing the glory of God's salvation?